All right, everybody, welcome back again to the All-Star LeaderCast. Looking forward to spending some time with you. Speaking of spending time, I just saw a tweet from Gary Goodrich, who is a former UFC, Strike Force, different organizations in the MMA world, who I believe he's a Canadian gentleman. I'm not sure if he's, I'm not sure. I have to check that because I follow him on Twitter. I should probably know that, and he follows me back, so that's not very polite of me. But either way, he had a great tweet today, and I'm going to be paraphrasing it because it's, this is not a direct quote, but the theme is there. And he talks about being careful of who you invest your time in, because time could be more expensive than money, which makes a lot of sense. So, you know, if you're investing time in people and it's just a waste of your time, you're losing a lot more than just cash. It means a lot more than just cash. So that's really, really astute. I think that we've heard this type of quote in many different forms, but to me, that's the most straightforward. So invest your time in people that are going to make it worthwhile. It also has to do with the conversation I had yesterday at the end of the podcast with you all regarding connection and purpose. So it's kind of the same thing. In fact, I believe they go hand in hand. So if you think about it, as many quotes that are out there about spending time with the right people, you'd think that a lot of us could start to do that. So it's a chore sometimes. It's a thought. It's something that we need to do and just tell ourselves that every day and make sure we do it. So I'm excited for this episode today. We do have a guest as well, a very interesting guest. Definitely different than our guest we had on the last episode, Jeffrey McNulty, which I'm still very happy that we were able to get him on, and definitely a big supporter of our show, and getting a lot of we're getting the rub off of him. If you understand professional wrestling at all, the rub is something that that is discussed basically if there is a person that has connections or a person that is a star, in quotes, so to speak, as far as a wrestling person goes. You get the rub off of them, and your character, or, you know, in this case, my podcast gets more exposure. So we're very, very grateful for having Jeff on yesterday, and we're going to have him on again. But today we have someone that I'll reveal when we have the interview, but he comes from a mixture of worlds. As Jeff talked to talked about earlier yesterday in his interview, he talked about hybrid, and our guest is definitely a hybrid. He comes from the world of music, the world of professional wrestling, the world of production, and he also comes from the world of logistics. So it is a great mixture of experiences, and I feel that it's going to be definitely interesting for us today. So we are looking forward to this. I'm glad you're with us. Come along for the ride, and we'll see you in the next segment. This segment is brought to you by ClassicPopMerch.com. Again, that's ClassicPopMerch.com. If you're a movie fan, comic book fan, if you like bands, maybe the band Kiss, maybe you're an AC/DC person, possibly a Chicago person. You never know. But what I do know, Classic Pop Merch has the merchandise. Do you like shows from the 80s like Knight Rider or maybe even Airwolf? When's the last time you've seen an Airwolf t-shirt? We've got Airwolf t-shirts. ClassicPopMerch.com. Free shipping. Use code TNI at checkout to save 5%. Pay attention, though. Look on Twitter. Look on Instagram. Check it out. Look for ClassicPopMerch.com, and you just might discover another coupon for the 4th of July weekend. Again, ClassicPopMerch.com. Free shipping. ClassicPopMerch.com. Okay, everybody, we're getting ready to release our interview here with our guest Trent, and just a quick word of warning. There was a bit of a goof up during the interview. Everything sounds just fine, so don't worry about that. But my cat, the family cat Minerva, got involved, and comedy ensued is the best way to put it. You may or may not hear me say a swear word, but if you do, I hope you're not offended. It's not the big one, but it's definitely a swear word. Anyway, I decided to leave that in here just because we're all human, and it's a pretty funny segment there. So very casual, very fun interview. And I'll tell you that it certainly touches all the points that we want to talk about in this podcast with leadership. But at the same time, we all need to be able to take a breath. And we had a really, really fun conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. All right. So welcome. I actually have a video up this time, so we'll see if I'm just using the audio or the video, and I'll have to get some, you know, legal ease going on and put your face out there on YouTube, even though it's already out there. So, all right, everybody. Hey, our guest, like I told you, is definitely a hybrid of all these different leadership styles. You know, he is a person that is involved in professional wrestling. He's involved in music. He's also involved in logistics. You'll have to explain that to me a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Distribution part in a huge company, obviously. You know, Kraft Foods is a huge company. So I wanted to have Trent on. And is it Zuberi or Zubari?
No, Zuberi. You got it right.
You know, I've known Trent for about a year now, and I never asked him how to spell or say his last name, because I never call anybody by their name. I'm a weirdo like that. If I call you by your name, I'm angry with you.
It's funny. It's funny that you the other option was Zubari, because my mom and I were just talking the other day about how we couldn't figure out why some people would say Zubari, because I'm like, there's no A there.
Right.
But like some people would say, even after being corrected, they just couldn't say Zuberi, but it's pretty clearly an E. I don't know. But you had it right. You had it right.
It's Zuberi, because mine's Smirecki, but people say Smiraki all the time. It's the same thing. If it's an E,
where did that A come from?
It's an American thing. I think Americans are idiots. No, I'm sorry. I'm an American, but
that's two Midwesterners here.
Yeah.
On the eve of 4th of July, you know, like talking about that.
You know, the eve of 4th of July. That's how we are, though. We just, you know what? I don't need to learn your language. You learn mine. I'll put an A in there if I want to. Okay. So yeah, I can't keep you too long, but I wanted to jump right into your professional life and kind of your background and where you got there. And I think obviously we'd like to start, not obviously, but I'd like to start with Kraft Foods and, you know, what you do there and look at that from a leadership perspective and tips and all that kind of stuff. So I'll leave the floor to you.
I got a really interesting career trajectory, man. I'm a marketing major. And came out of that to do, and worked other stuff, you know, during college and whatnot, sales, office management, things like that. Went into working for CareerBuilder.com, just inside sales, you know, because that's what a marketing degree gets you, is inside sales. I'm not discouraging anybody who's a marketing major, but you are not going in straight from college to develop marketing campaigns for your favorite, like, you know, Coke product or anything. That's the fantasy though, because you're like, I can't wait to hit the professional world and come up with a cool campaign. It's like, it's like, can you do inside sales, kid? Can you make 100 calls a day? It's like, pay your dues. So I did that, Career Builder, in inside sales, flexed that over to logistics at a company called Echo Global Logistics, who is public now. They went public while I was there. Wow. So they are publicly traded. Echo is owned by, well, they're public, but they're founded by Eric Lefkowski and Brad Keywell, same guys who did Groupon.
Yeah.
So, Groupon, several other organizations there. They're a big part of Fuda is another big one they're part of too. So, which I think may have hit everywhere now, but, the logistics there, inside sales, and kind of got to a point. I knew it was time to get out of logistics sales when I used to do a lot of trade show shipping. Mm-hmm. We're a third party shipper. We're a 3PL. And so yeah, I have very little control. The drivers aren't mine. I'm contracting drivers out. And I used to do a lot of trade show stuff, and trade shows were the biggest crapshoot. And if a trade show display does not arrive on time, it's your ass, you know, you are vanilla ice over the balcony via Suge Knight, you know, if anybody gets that reference, but like,
oh, I do.
Yeah. So, it was waking me up in the middle of the night when in like panic, like that these things are going to get there in time. And I'm like, I got to get out of inside sales. Like, this isn't worth sacrificing sleep. There was an opening for help desk at Echo. I figured, you know what? I know the systems. I know the company works. I'm going to get into help desk. Let me get ease in. I have zero IT experience. Keep this in mind. I have zero IT anything. Got in a help desk on the premise that it's like, hey, I know the internal systems. I can at least troubleshoot. Got in that way, learned my chops, wanted to get, I was an idea guy. So I figured, you know what, what's an idea aspect to tech, business analysis. So there was a BA position open and I said, hey, I don't have any background in IT, but I was in sales. I've been in IT. Can I merge these together and be a business analyst?
Yeah.
They gave me a shot to do it. Started becoming a good idea guy, worked my way up in that until I left there to join Kraft under the same business analyst type role for a specialized Oracle-based kind of program.
Oh, wow.
Which I had zero experience in as well. So I have never worked with Oracle, man. I had never touched an Oracle anything, you know, in my life. And they hired me because I had logistics experience. They needed somebody who had logistics and tech experience. I sold myself on that. Mm-hmm. I might have told them I love mac and cheese. I grew up on the Kraft mac and cheese. I probably did it, but
I would have.
Yeah. So I, but I thought, look, I'm not your typical tech guy. I won't know all the terms. I won't know how to navigate a server, but I definitely know how to problem solve when it comes to logistics meets technology. Mm-hmm. Got in that, worked closely with like freight payables, things of that nature. Wow. Again, got, you know, had bad leadership that I was rolling up to at times, and I was a little confused on where the leadership was going. Mm-hmm. And again, I felt like there's nowhere to grow with this. Like there was very limited room for me to grow within that.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I got to make a move. Either it's out of here or within here. And one of the teams I used to work with was the freight payables team, finance. Keep this in mind, logistics, finance. Again, zero IT experience, zero finance experience. I failed accounting twice in college.
Okay.
Twice. Okay. Yeah. Two in a row. Like I'm talking like I'm the idiot who like I just took the class. I should pass it the second time. I failed it twice. So yeah. I failed it again. And anyway, so this comes up. I'm working with the freight payables team and the girl who's running it, she was a former manager. She is leaving the team and she comes up to me and she's like, hey, I'm leaving the company and I want to assign somebody for this job and you know it pretty well because you've been working with me for the past year. Mm-hmm. What do you think? And I'm like, you know what, I knew her team because I was always over by this cash and banking team and everything. And the way I connected with her team the first time was I walked over to talk to her. And all the upper management was, I walk into a conversation where they're like, what was the name of that wrestler who used to point to himself all the time? You know, he was always like, he had like three letters. I was like, RVD. And they're like, RVD. That's the guy. I'm like, yeah. And there's other guy with the diamond hand, like Diamond Dallas Page. And I'm like, there were, so I always like was in good with those guys prior, just based on that one convo.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tie all this together.
Oh no, I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So she leaves. I go to do the interview. She's like, she recommends me. She goes, hey, do you want an interview? So I go interview. And the guys already like me because and they're cool. They're awesome. I had the connection. It works out. I get the job, move over. So now I'm the manager of North American finance for transportation logistics for Kraft Heinz, one of the biggest companies in the world.
Yes.
A guy who has zero tech experience and failed accounting twice and failed math several times in college. I mean, I'm not a numbers guy. Like I am the epitome of like, you botched your opportunity. You've wasted college credit money to do this, but it all works out. So what I'm getting at is like, the first thing is don't give up because you never know what trajectory your career is going to take. Mm-hmm. So definitely experience that failure because that failure makes me really humble for where I'm at today.
Absolutely.
And second of all, connect with people at your organization because you never, ever, ever know who, like I made a professional wrestling reference to you, a senior manager at Kraft Heinz, who's a big dog. I'm talking like several six figures behind his, you know, behind his paycheck. Right.
Yeah.
And that's all he remembered from the 90s was who's that guy appointed him. And I'm the guy who reminded him. And so when I go to interview with that guy, he's like, this guy is cool.
Yeah.
Because he watched the same thing I did in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So that's my path. I'm in charge of freight payables for Kraft Heinz. So I merged all those different experiences. I have all the logistics 3PL experience I took from prior jobs, the tech experience, knowing how to process things, And then the current role, just learning how it all works. So just, it's a hybrid, man. The whole thing's a hybrid. My life's a hybrid.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and some of the things, you know, the takeaways for me for this is, you know, obviously you tied that together perfectly, and I knew that you would. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about going back and saying, yeah, there was a piece there where leadership wasn't communicating. The vision right. was not being communicated consistently and appropriately, and that's what leaders need to do. So they have taken someone that they didn't know had the talent that you had, and you moved on and kept moving on. And that goes back to what I've said in some other episodes. Being told no or failing at something or moving around is the best thing that could ever happen to you, because you're not afraid of it anymore. I've noticed that right now with myself, you know, pitching the business that I'm pitching, and that, you know, I talk about this sometimes in the podcast, we don't know everything about it, you know, but I've already been told no a couple times and I'm not afraid of it anymore. Sure. So now I'm learning from that moving forward, but that's exactly where the career trajectory goes, excuse me, you know, making those connections, you have to do that. And there's a comment that I keep going back to with one of my mentors. He doesn't even know that he did this. You know, one of the things that he says is, may your day be filled with connection and purpose. So every person 100%. You talk to is a connection, and you need, and there's a reason you're speaking to them. And if there isn't, then, you know, unfortunately you have to move on. So no, that's awesome. And that's something that I really wanted to get on the podcast, you know, a little background for everybody else. We know each other through professional wrestling, just like, you know, those folks as well, just kind of talking randomly through a podcast and a show that you have. And I don't know that anyone's ever really sat down and asked you these questions, you know, besides what, you know, let's talk about the TNA flashback show or whatever it is. And I wanted to get involved because I was picking things apart. You know, I'm one of those people, like, when you're talking on the show, you make references. I'm like, I know what that means. They don't know what that means. So
yeah.
It's good stuff. But so obviously you do other things in your life. You know, you're in a band, you know, and Hemi, and I have product, believe me, I have product
Thank
at the house.
Thank you very
much. and I can see that environment being so different than working where you are, you know, now in the corporate world. And what are your thoughts on that? You know, how does everybody pull a team together? I mean, a band is an amazing thing. I was in a band for a very short period of time and I didn't have patience, so that was the problem. And of course, just for reference to everybody else, I am watching the KISS documentary on A&E, and I'm going, nice. I don't ever want to be in a band. So I look at, I see this, and I'm wondering, you know, what your thoughts are on that.
It's management. That's the thing. It's just like the management I do at work. Mm-hmm. It's also being able to understand different personalities. One of the biggest things I think people fail at is not understanding how to read people. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in an age where people would rather text you across the room that they're sitting with you in than just go up and say, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
You know, the common thing to say now is text me, not call me. You know, people don't know how to talk to people anymore. And I think if you are one of the few that do know how to talk to people now, you immediately have an advantage mm-hmm. on how to manage people psychologically, work with people better, get things done more, get through to people. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is with a band, man. Like, a band is management. It's business management 101. And you have to know how to, you're managing, and especially artists. Like, artists are very unique people. Artists are, they're egotistical, they're emotional, they're sensitive, they're angry. Like, you can name it all. Like, they do it all. So you have to, again, you have to know how to work the room. You got to know how to blend one to the other. It's like assigning teams. It's like being a GM on a sports team. You have to know how to, which players to draft that are going to work best together. I've been through it. I've been doing this 17 years with the band. I've been through 11 members in 17 years.
Wow.
You know, it happens. Yeah. Certain people just don't work with each other. There's a clash. It's oil and water. It's not going to work. You can only get so far. Mm-hmm. Have I lost time doing that? Sure. I've made bad decisions. I mean, it's like a sports franchise. I've paired bad point guard and shooting guards together, you know, and they didn't work. We didn't win the titles. Have we been delayed? Sure. I wish I was further along in 17 years. I think we've done pretty well in 17 years, but I imagine myself having a full-on record contract and touring the country in 17. Yeah, but it didn't work out. And it's because of decisions we made, and that's what it is. What it is. So you stick by it. But that being said, mm-hmm. within the realm I did create, we found levels of success that have been absolutely humbling. Yeah. But again, it goes back to managing people properly. You know, you have to know And you have to be, and you have to drop your ego also to identify. You have to know how to properly get across to people, who to put on that team, and how to make that synergy happen between everybody you've chosen. Mm-hmm. That's key, man. It's so key, and people don't get it. They hire this guy, bring this guy. We'll make it work. We'll just get by that. Make it work doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't. You have to be strategic in how you put something together and how you communicate that message mm-hmm. throughout your team.
Yes. Because otherwise, I totally agree.
Otherwise it's every man for himself. And an idiot will find his way home too. No question about it. You know, but I'd rather give him a map and say, here, you can shave 40 minutes off your commute to do this. You know?
Yes.
That's the idea. So.
Well, it's true. And the two phrases that drive me crazy, with myself being in management, people listen to this, know what I do, mm-hmm. Is we've always done it this way, or we'll make it happen, or we'll make it work.
I hate that.
I was told that. So I had a supervisor manager way back in Detroit when I was with my first DME company. And I was there for a long time, like 1993 to 2011. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he liked to say was, just make it happen with no direction whatsoever. And it got to the point where I would just make it happen. And if it wasn't done the way that he thought I was going to do it, there was a big problem there. And it just became too much. And those are things, that we've always done it this way when you're changing the culture of the group, as you know.
Right.
But it, when you're such, it's a tight bunch. One person that says that is, okay, you're on my list. You made the list. Yeah. You get
exactly. You made the list.
That's so interesting. And again, like I said, we don't have a ton of time, and I might have to do a part two, but
that's fine.
I wanted to move on again. And this is the third part of this. It's not really a hybrid. There's three things going on here. Your experience within the professional wrestling world. Now I know, and we'll do obviously plugs and everything like we're supposed to at the end here, but I know you from wrestling podcasts, I always say We Talk Impact, cause that's the Twitter. And I'm always on your Twitter, but it's total nonstop impact. I mean, I got the t-shirt right over there and I don't even, anyway. and I know you from that. And kind of, watching the show and understanding what's going on, you do have another role within that industry that, I'll have you explain. And I can only imagine, just like with a band, what it's like to manage those artists. I'll leave the floor to you.
Yeah, that's a different one. So the podcast is I fell into it. And to be honest, it's one of those things where I'm also, parts of me are winding that aspect down because for the reason that I have my own, I'm rooted into another organization a little bit more. Impact, obviously, I don't work for, but I work for a company called AAW Pro Wrestling, which is one of the biggest independents in the country. We work with all the TV guys. I mean, everybody's been through our doors kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I was a fan, started going as a fan, jumped in and worked my way just in doing pinning up posters to now I'm one of the executive producers of the company. Yeah. That's family to me. That's something that's mine. I feel I'm a part of it. I do a lot of stuff at the company. Like I'm a man of many hats and I want to invest more time into that. That's one of those things where like a good manager, you have to make a decision and say, look, I can continue to talk about a product I don't work for who doesn't pay me. I get paid from other means for that. Like, Twitch and Patreon, things like that. And I have a great time hanging out with my friends, but I can continue to invest hours a week for putting over a company that doesn't have a rewarding feeling to me, or I have this here, which is my family. I feel so much more rewarded from this. I have more fulfillment. I have to choose to flex my time accordingly, which is what I'm starting to do, more and more, kind of zoning from here to here more. Wrestling is very interesting. It's like a band in a sense. However, you have a lot more management to work with and feed off of. So there's a lot more delegation of roles, right? So I'm not wearing 10 hats. I might wear five, mm-hmm. but the other guy's also wearing five too, So we're both wearing 10 together, mm-hmm. but I have five that are very heavy to wear, So we're both wearing our own level of hats. However, there's so much going on. I mean, professional wrestling has, you want to talk egos, you want to talk sensitivity, personalities. There's a lot. You're mm-hmm. essentially talking about an athletic based business that is basically a TV show. These are not real matches. I mean, they're not, outcomes aren't real. However, the athleticism is real. Mm-hmm. The feeling and emotion conveyed is real, but at the end of the day, it's, it's, it's weird because it's a fantasy world. Yeah. You know, you're selling a fantasy world with real emotions, which is very, it's a TV show basically. You know, it's at the end, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Under the guise of an athletic competition. So it, yeah, there's so much contradiction in wrestling,
yeah,
which is why you could tell why everybody in it's screwed up.
Yeah.
Everybody in it is screwed up. Everybody in the business is all mine is just mm-hmm. completely screwed up because of that.
Yeah.
You're selling it like a real competition, but it's not, mm-hmm. but you're supposed to feel like it is.
Right.
You know? And so, you're supposed to, and you're like, wait a minute, but it's not, but I'm supposed to feel like it. It's just such a mind. It's crazy. But within that, again, delegation is huge. That's where delegation comes into play. And it's one thing that wrestling companies don't do enough of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm teaching a lot of my guys here, taking that corporate experience I have, because a lot of people in wrestling aren't corporate trained.
Right.
And that, you know, and there's a couple of our guys who are. So we're more the ones who are putting together, you know, we like to have stand-up meetings, you know, and yeah, putting together kind of waterfall game plans of what's going to happen, you know, long-term business plans and format sheets. And these guys are like, well, I wrote everything on the back of a napkin. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, it's one of those things. Like, it's such a, we're juxtaposing like this corporate environment onto what is basically a carny business.
Yeah.
And you have to know how to, again, blend all that together.
Mm-hmm.
And, I like that. I'm more professional guy. I'm a corporate guy, and I like having a corporate spin to things because I think that does create a structure.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to be able to read your room, right? You're talking, it's like putting a round peg into a square hole.
Yeah.
Sometimes talking professional wrestlers professional wrestling people who aren't corporate, and you're like, hey, I need you to, put together a complete PR state or PR release for me, or a stand-up, guys.
My J-bone, get over here.
Yeah, look at this.
No one's gonna get, oh shit, there goes my mic. Now
there goes the microphone, the cat's revenge.
No one's gonna get that reference except you and me. Okay, yes. Sorry, go ahead.
But no, it's just a matter of that, right? It's a matter of knowing again how to meet everybody in the middle. Good managers know how to do that.
Yeah,
bad managers don't.
Stop it. I'm gonna have to cut now. We have to edit for the first time. Sorry, one second. Thanks.
Here it is. What's this cat's name?
This is Minerva. It's Emily's cat, but she has gotten older, and now I have a bed for her on my desk next to me, because if I don't, she'll just jump on top of me.
Uh-oh.
So she
definitely like being on a show with J-Bone, who's my co-host.
Luckily, whatever is the cat, probably the cat's name is not on top of the screen.
His cat's Oreo.
Oreo, yes. Yeah. Well, you know, I might not put this out, but and I can see that, and that's what made me so interested in it, because I look at it from this perspective, and some wrestling fans are going to understand what I'm saying, and some won't. But I look at this from the fan's perspective, and you know, you see on Twitter, the World Wrestling Entertainment is this, it's that. Oh, mm-hmm. God, that guy's this, that guy's that, and I can tell that those folks that make those complaints about Vince McMahon and going public have never been in a corporate environment.
Never. Absolutely never.
And they're so upset. And I'm going, they had to do that. They had to cut a salary the guy was making. Anyway, so I see that. And then I look back at this and go, okay, so we're looking at, because I know your company. I have the luxury of knowing and watching and seeing it grow mm-hmm. over time, and been to live shows years ago and watching the production levels change and what it is now. And seeing that, okay. And I can tell, from my eyes, there's been some work getting done here, and it's not just somebody that trained under Harley Race that showed up and said, hey, I'm your champ, you know, that's
right.
Not what it is. So yeah. I can see those personalities, and what really, and you said it, and I almost kind of knew you were going to say it, folks that are, say, working for you that are street team or whatever, I don't know if you're doing street teams, but things like that. I mean, that's early marketing. That's entry-level marketing, man. I mean, that's, you know, hey, straight commission. You're going to learn this. Now you can go get an associate's. And putting production company for whatever it is on your resume, you know, even if it's professional wrestling, because, you know, we still get, well, I say we, but, you know, we get a rap sometimes.
There's a stigma, no question about it.
Definitely a stigma, but it's still a production company, and you're marketing, and it's a resume builder. And I would encourage anybody that is a fan that does have aspirations besides doing, you know, writing letters to Dave Meltzer, again, another reference nobody's going to get, say, you know what, we should look at this like a business as well. I'm entertained, but kind of understand it. And you'll, I do at least, I appreciate more of what I'm seeing on every level, mm-hmm. and seeing where, okay, this group over here must have this type of leader. This group has this type of leader, and this group is a deathmatch company. And I don't know that anybody's there, but we'll see, you know,
right.
So, but I think it's just so amazing and you know, what you're doing and being able to take the professional experience and put it in other ways. It's just amazing to me. And besides the fact you're a good guy, so I wanted you on the show.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, yeah, you're right. You better have a good, really good point. It's people who don't know the corporate world who question these decisions so vehemently. And they're like, why is he doing this? Like, I get it. Yeah, of course you're going to question certain things, but try to understand the other side of it. Like, these people aren't dumb. I look at like Vince McMahon's not an idiot. You know what I mean? He didn't get here by being an idiot.
Right.
So if he's making a decision that you might not get, there's gotta be a reason for it too. Yeah. Obviously nothing's a home run. The biggest complaint, obviously, you know, people have a lot of sports team complaints all the time and stuff like that. Why they trade this guy? Why they do? Yeah, and then that happens. I just watched the Last Dance documentary, and
oh yeah,
you can question the shit out of all that stuff. You know, like what goes on, all the decisions made. But you know, there was reasons for it. Mm-hmm. Even when at the end of the day, when I think they interviewed Scottie Pippen, he's like, yeah, I get it. He had a job to do.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's what it comes down to. You have a job to do. It's not personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a job. You have to make it. If you're joining an organization, a company, team, your job is to make that the best to bring that to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires cutting people, skimping this, changing that, shifting this, looking at that, changing this color. It is what it is.
Yeah.
That's part of the deal. That comes with the territory, unfortunately. I mean, you might not like it, but it comes with the territory. And absolutely. People don't get it. They're never going to get it.
No, and I don't think that they will, and that's one of those things that I'm checking time here because I know you've got another meeting, but it's just absolutely true, and I think that if you're in the right set mindset and you're studying or you're working or you're learning, you can look at anything on TV or anything around you and realize mm-hmm. that everything is a business. Everything from church all the way down to the bottom.
That's true.
Panhandling. I mean, it's a business. That's marketing all day long.
It is.
I mean, so.
Everything requires a level of it. That's the mm-hmm. thing. Everything is a level of business. And when you understand that, when you finally understand that, that's when you can succeed in it.
Mm-hmm.
But people who don't want to understand it, who don't get it, they're never going to get further than they are. Mm-hmm. You have to open yourself up to thinking like a boss. But here's the thing too,
mm-hmm.
Adam, like not everyone's cut out to do it.
I agree.
Some people have to be the employee. Mm-hmm. Some people have to be the manager. My dad had a guy work for him for a while ago. And when he came to him, he told him the first day, he's like, I'm the best number two guy you're ever going to have. He goes, I'm not a number one guy. I'm not the top guy, mm-hmm. but I am the best number two. And he goes, I will guarantee you that. And he sure as hell was.
Yeah.
He was not going to be the guy because he knew his shortcoming. He knew going in. He's like, yeah, I could be a little too emotional about certain decisions. So I can't be the top because you have to think without emotion sometimes the top. Mm-hmm. He goes, I know I can't be that. I can't make those emotional based decisions. Are decisions that require me to put emotions aside.
Mm-hmm.
But the functionality, the day-to-day, get it done, functional decisions and the big do this. And he was absolutely the best number two guy you can ever find. And he knew it, but he recognized that about himself.
Yes.
That's the key.
The emotional intelligence. It's amazing when people just get it and don't have to
think. People think everybody thinks they're cut out to be the top guy though. You know, yeah. Everybody wants to be the champ.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. Like yeah, realize where your shortcomings are. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the old adage, you know, are you a manager or a leader? And if you realize that you're a manager, then that's great. I'd love it.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, yeah, I got to wrap you up because I know I'm not going to make you late for something. So
I got one more time. I'll give you a tug on the ear. I'll go Carol Burnett and give you a tug on the ear. Who gets that reference, right?
These people got it. We're named, you know, these references are great.
How do you know we're in our 40s? Well, I'm not quite 40. I got a couple months till I'm 40. How do you know we're in our 40s until we make Carol Burnett tugging ear references?
Oh yeah.
It kills me because I'm like kids these days, you know, and they would never know what the hell that means at all.
You know, and we're doing that whole kids these days things, but I'll tell you, you know, they don't even know what reruns are. I mean, I was watching Batman, you know, from the 60s in the 80s. There's not even, like, if I show Saved by the Bell is about as old, far back as it goes, and my daughter is like, "What is this? Why is his phone so big?" You know.
You're right though. Saved by the Bell is the one that like they'll know of, like they've heard of Saved by the Bell, and they maybe caught it, but like they still don't get it either. You know.
No.
But
no, and they don't get the fact that everything they're wearing right now I saw in 1983. So
yeah.
You know.
Oh my God, I had a 22-year-old ask me about, oh God, what was it? Like Jerbo pants and like cross color hoodies and like a Carl Kanai hoodie and JNCOs, you know, remember JNCOs? I'm like, yeah, what about you? Goes, they're so in right now. I'm like, what?
Like, the pockets are this big.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, they're considered in, you know? I'm like, what the hell? But
there was a point I remember back in Detroit, they were selling those in gas stations. They were so out that places
really?
Were overstocked, and they were selling them at the BP gas. Now, and they weren't knockoffs either, which is the whole other thing. I mean, that's how bad it was.
Are you serious?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, that was, you know, Jerbos were whatever. But I looked on eBay just as a, a joke. I looked for some Tommy Hilfiger Carpenter jeans. And they want $300 for them.
Give me a break.
$300. I still have Carpenter jeans here, but they're from Walmart. They're Wranglers. They're great.
Tell you what. I went to a shop over the weekend, and I've never been a big sneaker guy, but like I remember wanting the Jordan 6s in 91, Chicago guy. So like Jordan 6, the red and black ones, they were the coolest ones. Yeah. They were sold out. I ended up getting what's called the Jordan Bordeaux's.
Okay.
They were gray with some other like very funky, like New Orleans-y colors, you know?
Yeah.
I ended up settling on those. They were $110 in 1991.
Oh.
And 92. And second championship. Trailblazers, 92. And I remember I destroyed them. I mean, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old kid should never be wearing suede shoes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That was ridiculous. Anyway, I was at a sneaker shop that popped in at the mall, and they were selling classic sneakers. And they had the Bordeaux's, and I was like, oh, no, I had these. And I'm looking at the price tag, $600 for shoes. I go, why is this $600? Like, they had other ones. The other Jordans were like $700, $800, $900. I go, I asked the guy, I'm like, why are these so much? And he goes, goes to sneaker markets, crazy. I'm like, do people wear them, or this is just like is it a collector's piece? He goes,
yeah,
most people don't even wear them. I'm like, who collects shoes? Like, who display? I can never imagine displaying shoes, but then again, I'm displaying vinyl records. Maybe I'm the crazy one. I don't know, you know, maybe everybody's got their thing, but
yeah,
I couldn't believe it, man.
No, it's crazy. I'll tell you, we had the Vanilla Ice reference earlier on in the interview. He's a collector of shoes. I saw him on the DIY show that he does. He's pretty skillful, by the way, but
he's
got a room full of sneakers, and $13,000 for different pairs. There was a custom Jordan that was made for him for the Turtles movie. If you remember the Turtles movie,
Secret of the Ooze part two, he's in
$100,000.
Come on, man. Like, auction. What are we doing here?
I mean, there are only three made. I don't care. Vanilla,
it's a shoe. What the hell are we doing here? That's mind blowing to me. That's
absolutely
amazing.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to clean this up just a little bit, of course, so we'll look good. I'm talking about Mimi and over here. Okay. Did you want to, is there anything you want to plug?
Sure. Yeah. Trendsberry over on Twitter. Just get me on there. All one word.
Yeah.
All the links to my stuff is pretty much in the bio. There's a link tree in there, so you can just get it in there. But the band HemiMusic.com. Total Nonstop Impact Podcast, AAW Pro Wrestling, Toxic Rockets, another side project music band I do. Check that out. The Backstage Boys Podcast, another one I do about production on Monday nights. So all over the place. Try to find time for them. Again, like I said, it gets to you after a while. You're like, I don't have time. I'm on my phone so much that I have Decker Vane's tendonitis in my wrist because of that. Because I'm always doing this, and I had it in this hand about 10 years ago, 8 years ago, and now it hit me on this hand, and it's absolutely painful, but hopefully the sacrifice is worth it. And my dad keeps telling me, you need to have a kid so you can like pass all this down to it at some point. I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'll just do it, leave it all to my dog, you know?
There's a lot to pass on, I'll tell you what.
I don't even have a dog, though. That's a problem.
Well, yeah.
I'll give it to Emily. Emily can have all this.
Yeah, but, you know,
Uncle Frank can leave it all to
Emily. She's the director of marketing for, you know, for the classicpopmerch.com.
There you go, man.
So that's probably who's going to be sponsoring this segment, just so you know.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. So, I had the pleasure of meeting your lovely daughter. She's great.
Oh, she's great. Thank you so much. And the pandemic, post-pandemic, got to try to get together at one some
Absolutely,
point.
Absolutely, man. Come up.
I'm still going to figure out this darn St. Louis thing. I mean, if they're going to have the show or not, I need to know when tickets go on sale so I can get them. They haven't
even hope it should be soon, from what I understand. But yeah, we're not too far apart, man. So we should definitely do this. It's only 4.5 hours apart. So let's do it.
That's not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, hey, thanks so much. There, and I'll shoot this over to you and we'll go from there.
Sounds good, man. Good talking to you, man. I would love to go longer. We'll do a part 2 sometime.
Yeah, I'd love to. We could get really deep into analysis and processes and analysis paralysis and all that kind of
stuff. I'd love to. Let's save part 2 for that. I'm all on to that.
Love to. Thank you.
Sure.
All right.
Good, man. All right, dude.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. See you, bud.
Bye. Well, that was an amazing interview. A lot of fun. As you can tell, Trent and I do know each other, but there are conversations that we normally wouldn't have if it was not for this podcast. So I'm excited that I can get this information out into the world. And, you know, we can see and talk about how business is all around us, and something is always a business, no matter what it is. I think that's when you get deep into the world economies and things like that. Forensic economists, I actually have a very, very interesting job. So if you're looking at things like that, this is what we're talking about. You know, everything's a business, no matter where you are in the world. If there's a service provided, there's a reason for it. And it's just depending on what are you receiving in return. Just a really fun conversation. Looking forward to part 2. I have we'll have a part 2 with Trent coming up. Looking forward to a possible part 2 with a previous guest. It was a nice, fun episode. I hope you enjoyed it and got a laugh out of the mishap that I had. And as long as I made you laugh, you might remember something. So thank you so much for joining us. And remember to make sure your day is full of connection and purpose. Have a good day, everybody.